See, parents give kids responsibility just to get the work done, because kids need to learn the responsibility. They need to understand the responsibility, because the parent knows the child needs to be self-sufficient at some point in their life. And if you don't become self-sufficient, then you're going to live with the parents forever. So the parent knows, I have to train you to be self-sufficient, because one day I need you to stand on your own. I think I'm working just to work. I don't know I'm working to become. I don't realize I'm working for a purpose. And because I don't understand that I'm working for a purpose, I'm halfway working. I'm thinking I'm vacuuming the floor to put the lines in the floor. I'm pleading ignorance. I shared earlier today, when I was coaching basketball, we realized we had to teach kids three levels. You had to learn the game at three levels. You had to learn the game at the play level. In other words, I took a shot, I made the shot. That was a play. And I celebrated, woo, made my shot. And the game is still happening while I'm celebrating. The game is still going on. The other team doesn't care you made a shot, because now they're trying to make a shot. So you have to move to the next level. You have to be involved in the game. So the first level, I was at the play level. The objective must be, because I'm making the rules, it must be to get the lines in the floor. So I don't need no power for that. Make the lines. Done. But because I didn't understand the next level, I'm operating in ignorance, not knowing the next level. Then, in basketball, we coach kids not to be so excited about the play level. You need to understand the objective is to win the whole game. You can't get overly excited when you did something exciting. You got to stay in the game. Get in the game. Make sure you're playing the full game. You can't play three quarters and beat a team that played four quarters. You have to play the whole game. In John chapter 3, Nicodemus, who is a teacher of the Jews, comes to Jesus in the night. There was no street lights at that time, by the way. So he's coming in darkness to not be seen. Amen? John chapter 3, verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God. Notice the wording here. Rabbi, we know. Not I know. Rabbi, we know. In other words, we've been talking about you, man. And we know that you must have come from God. Even though in public we argue with you, in public we resist you, in public we won't have nothing to do with you, but we've already talked about you and we know you came from God. That's vacuuming. That's making lines. For no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Verse 3, Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Verse 4, Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound, but cannot tell where it comes from or where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Tell your neighbor, say, you don't know where I'm coming from, and you don't know where I'm going, because I'm born of the Spirit. Those that are born of the Spirit, you can't tell where they're coming. You can't tell where they're going. They're like the wind. You can't see it, but you know it's there. You don't understand it, but you know it's there. And if you figure it out, you can let the wind blow, and the wind can help you get where you're trying to go. That's how you are. See, let me talk to you. That's how you are. You got to understand that people recognize God is in you. They talk about you when you don't know. They're talking about you. They're saying, I know the Spirit of the Lord is in. I know something in it. I don't want to say God is real, but I see something's going on in their life. I see something. And when the doors are closed, they might come to you and ask you, man, what is it? How do you do that? How'd you know that? Can you pray for me? Why? They'll come in the night. They may not come in the day where everybody can see they're coming. They might not sit down at the table in the lunchroom and talk to you, but they will come to you. Why? Because they've identified you by the Spirit, and they know by the Spirit who you are. But you have to know who you are. You have to recognize that you have been born again, not of the will of the flesh, but by the will of the Spirit, that you are a spirit being. This morning, the dialogue happened. We talked about the rainbow and the misuse of the rainbow and the meaning of the rainbow. And people get caught up on sexuality and everything else. But here's the truth. Anybody who exalts anything above the name of God is missing God. And if you choose to exalt your sexuality above God, then you're missing God. And I don't have to argue with you about anything else. Either God is God or he's not God. If he's God, then you have to recognize that there are things about God that are above your understanding. So even if you understand, you feel a certain way, you still need to know God is over and above what you feel. Can I be real honest with y'all? Can y'all handle true honesty, full honesty? Y'all can't handle it. Y'all ain't ready for what I'm getting ready to say. I'm not going to say it. I can't say what I was getting ready to say. I'm going to let it go. Let it go. Amen. Let's get back to the word of God. Amen. You must understand that you are spirit. You must understand your spirit first. If you don't understand that you're spirit first, then you will misinterpret what God is doing around you. If you start thinking that you're flesh first, you will interpret everything by the flesh. But what is born of flesh is flesh. But what's born of the Spirit is spirit. You must be born again, but the born again is not your physical body being born again. The born again is your spirit being reborn with God. Amen. The spirit being reborn, the spirit being activated, your spirit being alive in Christ. That is what the new birth is, and your new life is based on the spirit and not on the flesh. But the flesh will fight against the spirit to get you to continue to live in the flesh when you're a spirit. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Now I need to make sure you understand that. Look at verse 9. Nicodemus answered and said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Are you the teacher of Israel and do not know these things?" Let's go back. Let's look at this again. Nicodemus is one of the Pharisees, and he's a leader of the Pharisees. He is at the top of the religious circle in Jerusalem. He's at the very top of the circle. He is high as he can be. And he comes to Jesus because he doesn't understand. He's asking Jesus a legitimate question. I don't understand. Tell me how this can be. How can I be a new creation? How can I be changed? You don't know who I am. How can I be different? Tell your neighbor, say, that thing you've been worried about. Just meditate. That thing you've been worried about. Now ask him, is it flesh or is it spirit? That thing you've been worried about, is it flesh or is it spirit? If it's flesh, you know what it is. If it's spirit, then you know God's got it. But you got to understand that the flesh exists because of the spirit. The flesh only exists because of the spirit. Where was God when he made the world? Was he in the world when he made the world? How you going to make what you're inside? How you going to make what you're standing on? How you going to make what hasn't been made if you're in it? How you going to build a house from inside the house? If the house is already there, how are you going to build it? Huh? See, we live in a world where we perceive everything by our thoughts, our feelings, our emotions, what we see, what we feel, what we hear, taste, touch. That is how we relate to the world around us, and that's what we believe is all. But if God made the world, where was God? He couldn't have been in the world to make the world. So where in the world was God? See, it seems like, oh man, that's kind of ethereal stuff. That's kind of deep stuff. It's not deep. This is simplicity. This is foundation. This is foundation. If you believe God was in the world making the world, then you can't believe that God's outside the world influencing the world inside. You can't believe in a spirit in you that can do mighty things and be creative and create by the spirit of God if you believe God was in the world already. See, here's what doctrine is. This is how doctrine works. Whatever you believe at square one will dictate what you can do at square 35. Because if you're standing on the wrong thing here, you can't ever get to the right place over there. If you've got to turn your GPS on in your car, and your car still believes that you're in Mississippi when you're in California, your car's gonna give you the wrong directions to get to where you're trying to go. Because it's gotta start somewhere. And the directions to here from Alaska are different than the directions here from Mississippi. So if your personal GPS says you're in Mississippi when you're really in Alaska trying to get here, you're going the wrong way. Drive north. You're going the wrong way. Go west. You're going to wake up in Russia. Where you start makes a difference, because if you don't start in the right place, you're going to end up in the wrong place. And so Nicodemus asking him, well, tell me how the kingdom works. Jesus said, you got to start with this. You got to be born again. You got to be born again. You got to start in the right place, or else you can't get where God's trying to take you. Mary, I'm not telling you, you must be born again. Must be born again. So when you think about what has God stewarded to you, what has God given you? God gives you revelation so you can understand Christ. And with that revelation, you have to accept the revelation to be born again. You have to be able to confess with your mouth and believe in your heart the Lord Jesus that you might be saved. And then once you are, now you now have the key to the kingdom of heaven, and now you can begin going in and coming out and doing what God has called you to do. Look at the next thing, verse 10. Jesus answered and said to him, are you a teacher of Israel and do not know these things? Verse 11, Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen. You do not receive our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? If I told you earthly stuff and you don't believe, how are you going to handle the heavenly stuff? That's why Jesus in Matthew 25, to some he gave five, to some he gave two, to some he gave one, each one according to their own ability. Ability is manifested in what can you do with what you've been given. But what you can do with what you've been given is a manifestation of what you believe. Because if you don't believe, if you don't have faith, you can't be faithful. There's no faithfulness where there is no faith. You can't be faithful if you don't believe. But if you don't believe, you can't please God. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. Because those that come to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Those that come to God and are given things by God, they can't reproduce unless they believe. You can't reproduce what God has put in your hands. You can't be a profitable servant if you don't believe. And so Satan comes to rock your belief, to shake your belief, to shake your faith, to take you off of believing what God has spoken to you. And when you are shaken off, the number one way I'll say it this way. The number one way he chooses to shake you off is through tribulation. Through tribulation. Because Satan believes that if he can give you enough trouble, that he can take you off of what God has told you. Tell your neighbor, say, I got trouble, but I got faith. Come on now, come on. So what, you got trouble? You got some faith, don't you? You got to exercise your faith in the season of trouble. The book of Proverbs says it like this. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength was small because your strength was on yourself and not on God. Because you know, there's a whole bunch of stuff in life I know I cannot do, but with God, all things are possible. So no matter what you face, if your faith is in God rather than in yourself, then you can move mountains. You can do things, but you're not doing it in your own strength. You're not doing it in your own ability, your own power. You're not doing it in nothing you got. You got to do it with what God has put in you. In him we live and move and have our being. We're not trusting in ourselves. We're trusting in God. Jesus Christ, the hope of glory. Hallelujah. My hope is on him and not on myself. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I told somebody this morning, I let $400,000 go. It was in my hand and I said, no, I release it because I won't fight with people. I let it go. Take it. $400,000. I said, nope, I won't fight. Because the kingdom of heaven is not meat and drink. That's not what the kingdom is. And what I wouldn't fight for, God has given me over and above. What I wouldn't fight for, God has replaced because he's God. And because he gave me keys. He gave me keys. So somebody wants to hold you hostage to stuff. Somebody trying to hold you hostage. Why would I be hostage to go into your stuff when God gave me key to my own stuff? Well, I'm going to be held hostage to your issues and your problems and what you got going on when God has already told me what to do and given me a key to go in and out of the kingdom as I need to go. Why am I owning your stuff? Now, I will tell you the truth. I will bless you. I will give to you. I will do what I can for you. And guess what? Then I'm going to tell you how God can do for you and God can bless you and God can help you. And it's going to be up to you to have faith. And then he will give you your own set of keys. Guess what? I don't have to give you my keys. Guess what? At a certain point, both me and my brother had keys. I didn't have to release my key and stay outside so he can go in. Because somebody's already died to make sure everybody gets keys. Somebody's already sacrificed to make sure that everybody in this room can get their own key. The kingdom. It's the kingdom. The first thing God hands us is these keys, and these keys are to the kingdom of heaven. And if you understand that the kingdom starts in the spirit and it works out from the spirit, then you start to understand nothing natural can hold you. Matthew 16. I was meditating on something. I said, Lord, I want to go to a different scripture. He said, no, you keep using them same ones you've been using. I feel like I've turned to Matthew, had y'all turn to Matthew 16 so many times. But the Lord said, keep on. Keep on. Verse 17. Jesus answered, said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not, what? Flesh and blood has not what? Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but who? My Father in heaven. The revelation Peter got was not from other people. It was from God. And when you understand that if you start living the word, you start living by the spirit, you start living in a certain way, you start living in a certain way, you start manifesting what God is doing in your life, then the people who are around you watching you like Nicodemus will see the works that's going on in you and come to you by night and try to figure out why and how are you doing what you're doing. But sometimes we're trying to persuade them to see what has not been revealed. Flesh and blood did not show you this, but my Father had to show you. Jesus said it this way. He said, no man comes to the Father except by the Son. And no man can know the Father unless the Father reveal himself. See, evangelism is not beating everybody over the head to get them to believe Jesus. Evangelism is living the gospel in such a way that people see and they want to talk to the Father about your good works. When I say good works, I'm not talking about just good things you do. I'm talking about the manifestation of God in your life. I'm talking about the Spirit showing up and doing things that only the Spirit can do when people are trying to look for natural answers. When people are trying to find natural answers how to get out of their situations and you manifest spiritual things, they will come to you and they will ask you, what is this? How does it work? How did you get out of this? Verse 18, and I say to you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Verse 20. Then he commanded his disciples that they should tell no one that he was Jesus the Christ. Don't talk about it. Be about it. Amen. 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 Go back to Matthew 25 and we're going to close with this. No. Go to Romans 14. Romans 14. Let's do it that way. Yes. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Romans 14. Romans 14, verse 17. 14 and 17. That's a new one. Romans 14, verse 17. It says, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. The kingdom of heaven is not meat and drink. It's not tangible stuff. It is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you something. Y'all remember the movie Pursuit of Happiness? You know the only problem I got with that movie? If you chase happiness, you can't get it. If you run after happiness, I guarantee you ain't gonna find it. Happiness is like the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. You're gonna keep on running and you ain't never gonna find the end of the rainbow. And while you're running, you're gonna be miserable. You're going to be excited about chasing that rainbow. One of these days, I'm going to get to the end of the rainbow. I'm going to get there. It's like Good Times. You know what the final, you know what the name of the final episode is? The end of the rainbow. Woo, man. So y'all know what happened. Some of y'all don't got my Good Times reference, so I'm gonna stick with the word for now. I'm gonna come back to the word. The kingdom of God is not food and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. No matter what you do, you can't pursue happiness and find it. I'm gonna read you one last thing. I'm going to tell you how to get it. Because you got to understand you're receiving the keys of the kingdom, but you got to use the keys for the right thing. Matthew 6 and 33 says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. There was a man who was a psychiatrist. And his background was that he was a prisoner of war during World War II, and he was in an intern camp in Germany because he was Jewish. Okay? So he's in the concentration camp in Germany, and he was from Austria. And so in the camp, the husbands and wives were separated, the families were separated, and they kept people and they continued to throw threats at the people about their loved ones being killed or their loved ones being this happening and that they were never getting out of the concentration camp. And he said he observed two things. He observed certain people who had had very comfortable lives who broke under the pressure in the concentration camps. And he said then he saw people who struggled in life and went through the concentration camps because they had already developed something. They developed what he referred to as the will to purpose. In other words, they reckoned that their pursuit was not things, but their pursuit was a cause, a purpose. I am here for a reason, and because I'm here for a reason, I will come out. Because I have a reason to come out. I have a need to come out. My life isn't based on soft things. My life is based on a purpose, and the will that I have to leave is because of the purpose that I have. Therefore, he called it the will to purpose. that I have a certain will in my life. I have a certain makeup in my life. I have a certain determination in my life because I know there is a purpose. So Jesus said, seek the kingdom and everything else will get added to you. Because your purpose is kingdom purpose. Your purpose is what purpose that God has ordained for you, that God has created you for. That when God made the world, he didn't make it so that you could achieve things in the world. He had things beyond the world that he wanted to bless you with. And on the road to that, you will find joy in your purpose so that the things as you're on the road to whatever God has for you, you can enjoy the life you live right now. When you have a dead-end job, you have to get a purpose in your mind. You have to grab a purpose for being there. When you have a purpose of being there, your life will no longer feel like it's a dead-end job. If you have a purpose for being there. I worked in a dead-end job one time. I worked in this job. Nobody in the job ever got promoted. Nobody ever did anything. It was a bad place to be. It was miserable. Everybody was mad all the time. It was sad all the time. And then I got my life to, I gave my life to Jesus. And all of a sudden, I had a purpose. All of a sudden, I had a purpose. And all of a sudden, when I showed up for work and I had purpose and I read a couple of scriptures out of my Bible, and I would, before I started working, I would say, well, I read this passage, say, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do it as unto the Lord. So now I have a purpose for doing what I'm doing. Now I'm not just doing it because I deliver mail. Now I'm doing it because I'm doing this as unto the Lord. This work is a worship for me. I'm worshiping God when I'm doing this. And all of a sudden, I got a purpose. And because I had a purpose, I became productive. And I'm no longer vacuuming with no power. Now I'm plugged in. I'm plugged into the King. I got a reason for doing what I'm doing. And my reason has been revealed to me. And because I got a revelation, now I can do what I do. When other people are still in the same place of mind, nothing in the environment has changed whatsoever. Nothing is in the environment has changed except me. I got the revelation, and now I'm no longer serving like a servant. Now I'm serving like a son who has a purpose for why I'm doing. I know why I'm doing. I know who I am. I know what I'm doing. And because I'm a son, I can't stay in the same place. Because now, with no change except me, all of a sudden, everybody sees what I'm doing. Why? Not because I'm trying to be seen, but because I'm exercising what I've been given. And I can say, Lord, you gave me 2 talents. And now, look, I done made 4 out of this talent in the same place with no extra thing. Nobody else said nothing to me. Nothing but me knowing I got a purpose. Use what I've been given and watch it multiply. And then God is able to say, good, well done, my good and my faithful servant. Because I'm not working without faith. Now I got faith. Because I know who I am. Can somebody say, I know who I am? I can do anything. Amen. 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 Come on. Tell your neighbor, say, I'm ready. I'm ready for today. I'm ready for tomorrow. Come on, come on, come on. Tomorrow's Dr. King's birthday, amen? Amen? You know what Dr. King had? Dr. King had purpose. There's all kind of preachers, there's all over the country, there's all kind of preachers preaching every Sunday, all kind of preachers doing all kind of stuff, but that man had a purpose. And because he had a purpose, I went to the church. We went to the church. We went to the church that he had. That church is no bigger than this room. But he turned the whole world over because he had a purpose. And he started talking about what I don't have. I don't have this. I don't have that. You know what? I'm going to take what I got. What's been stewarded into my hand. I'm going to take the keys I know I have. And I'm going to use what I got. And he turned over the world. Turned the world over. Woo-wee. What you gonna turn over? You need to meditate on that. What you gonna turn over? Amen. You got something need to be turned over, I guarantee. I guarantee when you look at your life, there's something needs to get turned over, isn't it? So the question, what you gonna turn over? What you got? What do you have? What do you have? You got the kingdom. And in the kingdom, you're going to find everything else you need. When you seek out the kingdom, you're going to figure out God's given you everything that pertains to life and to godliness. Every single thing that you need, God has already prepared and equipped you and put in your grasp. Moses, what's that in your hand? What's in your hand, Moses? A stick, an inanimate object, something worthless I've been carrying around for 35 years. With that stick, I'm going to take you to Egypt and you're going to set people free. You got stuff in your hands. You got stuff in your hands. You have something in your hand already. Amen. Amen. So that means we can stop begging God for new stuff and we can start celebrating and worshiping God for what we have. And when we become worshipers, we become worshipers. And God's going to be free to move freely through us and do what he wants to do. Amen. Let's lift our hands. Let's worship God for a moment. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the worship. We thank you for the people here. Thank you for everyone here that had an ear to hear what the Spirit would say. Let this word not escape, but let this word draw deeply into their hearts. Let their minds and hearts be transformed and changed, not by my words, but by the word of the Lord. We thank you right now that the word of the Lord is with us. The word of the Lord is strong. The word of the Lord is able. The word of the Lord is able to break yokes and do mighty things. We thank you no thing will be impossible for them that believe. And therefore, Lord, we turn and incline our ear to hear and to believe your word, to believe your voice. So we thank you and give you praise for these things in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.